Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. We've got one line open if you want to jump in here at 866-444-3478. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can tell by my voice, I've got I don't get the cedar fever like a lot of people do, but it kind of bothers my throat for a while when it's blowing up here from the southern part of the state before our cedars start doing their own explosion. And there's a formula that has had some extremely good reports. It won't do you any good this year, but for those of you that are having problems with cedar pollen in the air, this is the formula, and we'll have it on the website in the library too, if we don't already. I don't think we do yet. But the cedar fever prevention, and this is just make a note to use it next year, October the 15th, I think is the timing that's recommended. And what you do is you take foliage from the tree, a cup of cedar foliage, and apparently it can be male or female, eastern red cedar or the ash juniper, either one, but a cup of it, mash it, crunch it all together, chop it up, a cup of that into 4 cups of water, bring it to a boil, and then you use, of that tea that you've made, you use 30 drops of this tea in 8 ounces of water to drink. And one report says that you need to do it one time, and that shuts down having the big problem. Other people have talked about doing it over a period of time. Other people have recommended eating the fruit, the little blueberries from the female plants over a period of time. If anybody's got any other formulas or recommendations on that, let us know. We'll do a whole newsletter and story on it at some point when we get all the different recommendations in on this irritating kind of thing. It's not deadly or anything, but it's just an irritation every late winter, early spring. Let's go to the phones. Let me see who's next up here. It's Neil's turn in Fort Worth. Hello, Neil.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, I was listening to that. The recipe sounds effective, but not terribly appetizing.
It's not that bad. I tell you, I've eaten the fruit myself, and you'll get more flavor from the fruit than you will from this tea. Huh. So I don't think it'll be bad. Yeah,
Did you just eat it raw?
Yeah, I just picked the fruit right off the tree and eat it raw. It has a real kind of sharp anise flavor. Yeah. It's really not bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know people cook with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I had some pretty hard freeze damage on my Seiko palms, even though I covered them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at the leaves, and the spine is still green, but the majority of the leaves are bleached.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, if there's some way to get new growth to come back on that same spine, or if I'd be better off just to cut it off.
Are they in the ground or in pots?
No, they're in pots.
Yeah. I've gotten a bunch of questions about this, obviously, from that gigantic drop in temperature that we had. The brown fronds obviously are not going to brown up again. So you could cut all the brown part off back to the stem and just wait until it warms up and see if they come back out. That's about all you can do. Drenching with kind of a mild solution of Garrett juice is about the only other thing I'd recommend. The negative is you got to look at the ugly, you know, leafless plant for a period of time.
Well, I don't mind doing that if there's a chance that new leaves will come out on that same spine.
There's a chance. Now, how long it'll be before it looks decent again, you know, is anybody's guess. But give it a shot if you don't mind looking at it.
Okay, I'll do that.
The only other thing to do is bite the bullet and get some new plants. And I wouldn't go the same route. I wouldn't do Sago palms again. I'd look at the little palm called Mediterranean palm. I was looking at some yesterday here in Dallas, and they don't even have a brown speck on them. It didn't hurt them at all. So.
Okay. Well, I've been hunting for some Sagos for years, and I found a couple of them at one of the big box stores,
yeah.
and then got them so cheap I just couldn't pass it up.
Well, the negative about that is that if you got them from there, they were definitely maintained to that point with synthetic fertilizers and all, and were more susceptible to the freeze.
Okay.
Yeah.
My other question is about composting, and this is something I've been doing for years and just assuming it was okay, but I had somebody tell me differently who's calling themselves an expert, and that is I'll take leftover things out of the kitchen, like, you know, cookies, candy, that kind of stuff, and throw it in there thinking that it's good for the sugar. But this person told me not to use processed foods.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I think all sugars and old cookies and candies and cakes and pies and things like that are fine. There's a lot of people that are into natural organic approach in ranching that use that kind of stuff in silo mixtures. In fact, they'll get candy from manufacturers when it's past the date on them, and they'll put it in the silo mixtures, paper and all.
You mean like in silage that you're feeding to dairy cows?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. So I don't have a problem with it at all, because the biological activity that you're stimulating, you know, with this compost situation, no matter how you're doing it, it's going to neutralize all the bad things that came about from the processing. You know, there might be GMOs in it and all kinds of stuff, but the composting element in raising the biological activities, how you neutralize all that.
Just always seemed to me like it'd be a whole lot better off going in the compost pile than in a landfill.
I think so. I agree with you.
Okay. And one other thing I wanted to tell you about is I've been using Dr. O'Hara's for years, and ever since you started promoting the RegActive, I've been looking for it here both at Sprouts and at Whole Foods, and every time I ask about it, they don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man, that's not good. I'll pass that on to everybody, and we'll see if we can't get it in there. You can order it direct in the meantime.
Is the website called Dr. O'Hara's?
Or
is it a distributor?
Yeah, that's one way you can go. Let me get the other website at this break, and I'll put that on the air when I come back. So give you better information about where to get it online.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil.
Bye.
Let's go. Let me make a note of that. And maybe I won't forget it. If I do, y'all yell at me and tell me I forgot. Let's see who is next up. David's turn, Navarro County. Hello, David.
Hello, Howard. How you doing?
Doing good.
I called in about 3 or 4 years ago, and I had a bare-rooted plum tree, and I'd sent you some pictures, and we finally figured out where the root flare was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I planted it, you know, up high and everything, and got some, you know, great growth on it. And the main thing I'm trying to figure out is how to prune this tree. You know, I pruned it once last year, and I pruned it off on the main growth about 8 or 9 foot tall. And then, you know, a cluster of branches came out there and then just grew up and just went straight up, you know, basically. They're not going at an angle or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I added another 6 foot of growth on it. And now my plum tree's up to, you know, 15 foot tall. So it's a little bit tall to get up there to get to the fruit.
Well, the way you want to prune a plum tree, and peaches are kind of in this category. Pears, not so much. Pears don't really care about pruning other than just try to get the codominant branching cut out. You know, take one or the other limb off so you don't have those tight joints. But to create that 45-degree angle that you want for plums and peaches and be able to have maximum production and ease of harvest, you want to prune back to a bud that's pointing exactly in that direction you want it to grow. And if you do that, it won't grow in any direction other than the direction the bud's pointing.
Okay.
So that's the way you do it. If you just look closely at it, you can see, you know, exactly where that bud is pointing. If it's pointing straight up, obviously that's not one you want to use. You want to do the ones that are pointing out.
Okay. And then the overall height, I mean, do I need to cut back 6 foot off the top of the tree to get it back down where I'm?
That's just totally subjective. You could do that for your benefit, you know, being able to reach the entire plant. Some apples, for example, are pruned to 4 and 5 feet high on an arbor. So you can prune any kind of fruit back to whatever height you want.
Okay, so the cluster of branches that came off after I pruned that first time, should I cut underneath that cluster and cut that off?
Yeah, cut back to a bud that's pointing the direction you want it to go. That's exactly what you want to do. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Be back right after this. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
EXO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor-eliminating air freshener. It is non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try EXO Odor Neutralizer, available in stores everywhere. Just ask for EXO Odor Neutralizer. For more information, go to exocorp.com or call 800-442-9696. Ask for and start enjoying EXO Odor Neutralizer today.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com. today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Okay, I've got this information for the caller and for everybody on how to, if your local store doesn't handle the Dr. O'Hara's product or the RegActive product, glutathione product that I highly recommend. You can order it direct. There's probably a bunch of mail order places that you can get it from, but the distributor and the main place is called EFI, EssentialFormulas.com. Go to their website, and they've got the Dr. O'Hara's and the various Reg Actives both. EssentialFormulas.com. Let me give you the weekly health tip from Real Time Pain Relief, and we'll get right back to the phones. They've got tips on arthritis, habits to relieve arthritis, and they are to consume omega-3 fatty acids as part of your diet, exercise, of course, take vitamin D, manage stress, easier said than done, I guess, try green tea, and get a massage, and the last one is to improve sleeping habits, which is easier said than done as well. Some of the things they suggest here to buy, you know, change your position, different mattress, different pillow, different position, foods to avoid, reduce foods high in sugar, refined flour, fried food, things we talk about all the time, processed foods, and saturated fats. Saturated fats can be a little complicated because the good saturated fats like grass-fed animal fats, real butter, and things like that are not only not harmful, they're very good for you. And anyway, there's just some ideas. One of the foods maybe to avoid, at least to consider, we've done a newsletter on it, is nightshades. And might surprise you, but a lot of people have a tendency to get arthritis problems or make them worse if they eat tomatoes, peppers, eggplant. Tobacco is nightshade, too. There's an entire book written on it by a fellow who said that you should really try to get away from nightshades completely, especially if you have arthritis problems. Easier said than done because nightshades, you know, cayenne pepper and various pepper, mild peppers are used in a lot of dishes by a lot of chefs and a lot of people. So it's tough. And we've had some people call and say that they had their children or they had arthritis problems themselves and tried the diet without any nightshades. And we've had some people tell us that it worked great and others that they got no relief. So anyway, just something for you to try if you haven't yet. And the real-time pain relief product is terrific. If you're experiencing pain, just put it on topically. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, no chemicals in it, no GMOs, parabens, or SLS is specifically free $10 tube with your first purchase. You can call them direct at 877-787-7180 or go to their website, which is rtpr.com, which is for real-time pain relief. Back to the phones, Tamara, next up in Carrollton, Texas. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Helen. Good to talk with you this morning.
Same here. What's up?
I was horrified to see after the last big freeze that all the shrubs along the front of my house that have been there over 30 years are dead. And this, of course, could be due to the fact that they were weakened by our foundation work that we've had over the last 5 years. They were pulled off, left out in the roaring heat, and then, you know, put back hours later. So I wanted to know what would be a good shrub along there. We have two gigantic red oaks out front that provide shade. It's south-facing, so in the summer they get a lot of, it gets a lot of shade there in the front, but it gets some sun.
Okay. Plant that would be top of the heap to consider, Tamara, would be dwarf yaupon holly, because it can grow in full blazing sun or it can grow in fairly heavy shade, and it's manageable. It's easy to keep whatever size you want it to be. That would probably be the top of the list for my recommendation for that area. There are a lot of plants that can take sun, a lot of plants that can take shade. That's one that can do both pretty well. There are other hollies that are low growing that could be considered. Carissa holly is one, gets a little bigger than probably about the same size maybe as dwarf yaupon. And then the dwarf Chinese holly is tough as nails and can grow in sun or shade, but it's well armed. And a lot of people don't like it for that reason. It has really, vicious spines on it.
Okay. Well, those three, I'll look into those. And I'm the one who sent the photos of the papaya tree that was blooming and making fruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to tell you it's still forming flowers. But the fruit falls off after a while, so because it hits the glass ceiling, which is only just over 8 feet. So yeah, I just wanted to give you an update on that.
The tough problem with that is that papaya is a plant that just wants to be in direct, full, blazing sun all the time, and your situation there is going to let it try to set fruit, but it's probably never going to be totally successful.
No, they only get it about as big as your thumb,
yeah.
You know, half your thumb.
Just enjoy it as an ornamental, and you're not going to get the big fruit. You have to buy that at the grocery store. I'm Howard Garrett. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
If you were there for the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, this message is for you. You can fight the effects of aging by eating right, exercising, and getting some garlic every day. The healing and health-giving properties of garlic are as wonderful as Venus aligning with Mars. And the easiest way to get all of garlic's benefits is with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Natural aging makes organically grown kyolic a true antioxidant. Hospital and university studies show that kyolic aged garlic extract helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels and normal blood pressure while improving circulation. Kyolic even helps build your immune system so you can keep on keeping on. For more information or to find a store near you, visit kyolic.com. That's K-Y-O-L-I-C.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract for people who take their garlic and their health seriously. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com. today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, and as you go through the week, don't forget DirtDoctor.com and all the social media stuff. We're really beefing up Twitter, Instagram. Situation, Logan helping put photographs. We're going to have all kinds of my photographs and hers and everybody's that we have listeners that send us interesting things on there. So check that out. You can go to Instagram right on DirtDoctor.com. And then Facebook, too, we continue to put stuff on there. And there's going to be a wide variety of things. So check it all out. Let's see here who's next up. John in San Angelo, Texas. Hello, John.
Hi, Howard.
What's up?
How long does it take a red oak acorn to sprout after you've,
put it in the ground? If you've got it in good conditions, which means moist soil that's warm, in a warm environment, no more than 2 weeks.
Oh, well, I guess mine are dead then.
Yeah, it's been a lot longer than that. If it stays cold, it'll be a longer period than that. But
it's the ones that sink to the bottom, right?
Yeah, generally the ones that float are the ones that have been attacked by a weevil or something, and it dug in, and they float. The ones that are viable tend to, it's not 100%, but they tend to be the ones that will sink to the bottom of the bucket of water.
Okay. On Garrett Juice Pro,
mm-hmm.
How long does the mycorrhizal fungus live?
longtime Dr. Mike Amaranthus came up with the way of, creating the situation for the products where the stuff is protected and stays in a dormant state for a long time. I think you ought to use it in a relatively short window, just common sense, but it will last a lot longer than a lot of people think.
Well, I was going to buy a gallon, and the guy said you have to use it up pretty quick.
No, that's not true. No.
Okay.
It's in a dormant state, and it's pretty well protected. It doesn't become activated until, it's mixed and sprayed out on the site in the container. It stays pretty well. You will start to get some biological activity in any of the Garrett Juice mixtures, even the ones you make yourself. In fact, the ones you make yourself, it might go quicker because there's no preservative in there, the phosphoric acid to slow down the biological activity. And you know that it's really revving up when you start seeing clumpy stuff in the Garrett Juice. And even at that point, people ask me about it all the time, if it's still okay to use it. And the answer is yes, even if it's gotten real clumpy. But you do need to strain the clumpy stuff out because it'll jam up the sprayer. Run it through a cheesecloth or some kind of filter and then throw that solid stuff in the compost pile or out in the beds direct, either one.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Good question. And it is, Rolene, is that right, in Vernal, Utah?
It is. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. What's up?
I have a problem with my houseplants. I've grown houseplants for at least 35 years, and I haven't had this problem. Do you remember the, maybe they still have the snow in a can at Christmas time?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. And it's primarily, I changed all my soil out last summer to more of an organic soil, potting soil. And it seems to start on the succulents, Christmas cactus, jade. It hasn't hit the crown of thorns, but it goes into all my other plants. And I've tried diluted peroxide with water, alcohol with water, and neem oil.
None of that's
and
working.
I only sprayed the neem oil one time. Maybe I need multiple applications.
No, some of the neem products are okay, but most of them don't hold up very well as far as their efficacy and their shelf life. When you touch this white stuff on the plants, does anything move around?
I don't see it moving, and it's not really sticky, but it does, stick your fingers.
How often are you watering your plants?
Well, I try to water once a week, but cut it way back in the winter time.
Okay, well, that's good. It sounds like they're all in stress for some reason. Too low a light, too much water. Once a week generally is okay, and cutting back in the winter is fine. If you let them get in stress from not enough water and, to the wilting stage, that could bring either mealybugs, which is what this might be, or scale in. Let's try this. Get some Lemon Joy soap and mix it at about an ounce per gallon at the most. You might even start with a tablespoon per gallon and put it in a teaspoon in a quart, spray spritzer bottle, and try that on some of the plants and see if it doesn't help you out. And use a pencil as a probe, regular wooden pencil, and the writing end you stab into the ground, and you'll be able to tell how well the soil adheres to the, the wooden exposed part of the wood there. How moist it is down in the container, and you can adjust your watering, add more or less, whatever you determine from using your little pencil probe.
This potting soil that we have is, I got it from the nursery that they grow everything, trees, everything in the world, and they carry some of your products. And it dries out really, really fast, so I might be over-watering just a tad, but I'll tell you when it started, if you have just 1 second.
Sure.
We converted an old 1950s garage into a garden room.
Okay.
And we had a difficult time figuring out the humidity the first season. So the first winter is when this started appearing, and it's been 2-3 years now. That's when I've never had it before until then.
Has the humidity been too high or too low?
It was too high.
Okay.
We didn't have the circulation right.
Okay. Well, that could have been part of the deal. You need
okay.
to, if you haven't tried yet, use the Garrett juice as a fertilizer to drench in the soil.
And I'm also, doing that.
Also the spray. You shouldn't be having the insect problems you're having. That's very weird. Let's try the Lemon Joy soap. And if the thing that's throwing me is that if the hydrogen peroxide didn't help you with it, it's a pretty recalcitrant problem.
I only did it one time because I didn't know if it was affecting the plants in a negative way. So I didn't do multiple applications on the peroxide. Shall I try that again as well?
Yeah, you could, sure. If you don't, you know, the stuff that comes from the grocery stores at 3%, if mm-hmm. you mix it 50-50 with water, that's going to give you, 1 to 1.5% or whatever that would end up being. And spraying
okay.
it's not going to be any problem from the standpoint of burning the foliage or anything like that, and
okay.
it should kill scale and or mealybugs, whichever it is. If you can take a picture of it and send it to me, it would be good too, and maybe I'll see something else to be able to help you.
Okay, I'll try. I don't really have the setup to do that, but I'll try to figure that out. When you say if it moves, it grows in lots of places on the plant, but there's nothing in there that seems to crawl.
Okay. All right.
All right.
It could be powdery mildew. It could be if it's mealybugs, you'd see something moving.
The internet pictures don't look like any of the things you've described. That's why I decided
okay.
to call.
Well, try to get a photograph.
I didn't find anything on library.
Yeah, try to get a photograph somehow and send that to us at info
okay.
Dirt Doctor. And maybe I'll see something that's not coming out in our conversation
okay.
here. Okay.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. And it's Peggy's turn in Dallas. Hello, Peggy.
Hi, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, I have a problem. I was talking to a friend who also has it, and I knew you would know what to tell us to do. Over the years, I've had moths that have eaten lots of great wool things. And now I'm really careful. I vacuum a lot, and I freeze everything before I hang it back up. But they're still around. And she has new wool carpet that she's discovered is just being chewed upon by tons of moths. And so she's just started vacuuming like crazy. What else can we do?
Well, there's a couple of things. The pest control companies that we work with, EcoSafe is who I work with more than anybody, and they uh-huh. they have natural organic techniques, and they've helped us. We had moth outbreaks a couple of times ourselves, and that's probably if continuing to happen, I'd probably call them and let them see what the deal is and do some of their magic. We also had good luck with glue traps, and I'm reluctant to use glue traps because if you have any little gecko lizards or anything like that around, they
right.
can get caught in them also. But if you can, use them inside and kind of be careful and keep an eye on them. If any of the little lizards are around, stop using them. But they attract. There's some that have hormones that really attract the moths very, very well, and it'll trap a lot of them in a hurry and really help clean up the problem. But
oh, that's great. Okay.
Some of the things that EcoSafe use, Niban, I think, is one of the products, and there's some others that really attract and kill very effectively. When you have a real bad infestation of moths in the house, it's pretty difficult to get them totally under control.
Okay. Well, yeah, with her carpet, she says she's got big patches of it gone in the corners. So
oh, wow.
They've just been munching down on it.
Well, in the carpet, one of the things that you could use also, there are products that are called borate products. They're products that contain boric acid, but they're sold as borate, not boric acid. And they come in a granular or powder form, and you can dust them into the carpet and work them into the carpet real well. vacuum up the excess after a period of time, and they'll kill things in the carpet really effectively, and it's a non-toxic kind of thing to use, too.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, right. Great. Oh, thank you. And can I ask you one quick lemon tree question?
Sure.
I have a lemon tree that's in a – I keep it small, and it's in a small pot so I can move it in and out.
Mm-hmm.
When I move it in, like right now, it's got bloom. It wants to bloom out.
Right.
Do I let it, or
yeah.
do I – Okay, so yeah, now would be a fine time. It seems so early. Okay.
No, you don't need to change anything. If it's starting to bloom inside in a warm situation, it may abort those blooms, you know, because it may not be like the conditions enough. But I wouldn't do anything. I'd just let it go and keep it warm as you can and as much light as you can, and it'll probably have some fruit from those flowers
Great.
Eventually.
Okay. Well, thank you, Howard.
I appreciate the call. Howard
Bye-bye.
Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. Do not. Go away. Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you're missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when full foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I just noticed something I need to improve, and that is the moth entry in our library. I don't have interior moths covered very well. We talk about moths of all kinds outside and in general, but the inside stuff, like the last caller and I were talking about, I don't have good enough on the site, so we'll make an improvement there. Might turn that into a newsletter for you. As well, a lot of the stuff like that is in my book, Texas Bug Book that Malcolm Beck and I did too. If you have that laying around, or it's still available out there if you want it, as is, I haven't mentioned in a long time, my newest book, the latest one I did with Mother Earth News, and it's a redo of the organic manual, totally updated and got all the new bells and whistles, all the latest things that we recommend, a lot more information on root flare and base of trees and the tree program and all that. So check it out. You can go to MotherEarthNews.com. You can buy it directly from them, probably is the easiest way, but it's probably going to be available, you know, all the other places also. Let's talk to Nathan in Austin. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, sir. How you doing?
Doing well. What's going on?
So I've got an Arbutina olive tree that I planted about 3 years ago, and I haven't done a thing to it, and I was just trying to let it get established, and now it's looking a little unruly.
Okay.
And I need to know how to kind of trim it back, and do I shape it like a normal tree? Do I just let it do its thing?
Have you had some decent production from it, Nathan?
I haven't had any production on it, but I know you need another olive tree for it, and I don't have another buddy system going.
Okay. Well, the pruning is kind of subjective on an olive. Even the commercial olive growers, we look at their stuff, and we've consulted on some of the operations. And other than what I recommend, you know, for all trees, there's nothing that's set in stone there about what you need to do. The most important thing I've seen for production, and I've had trouble, I'll be honest with you, with some of the commercial people following our advice good enough, and that is keep the flares dramatically exposed. That's the one thing that's going to help not only production, but the keeping the various pests away more than any other thing that you can do. How you prune the top is totally subjective, how you want it to look. I don't think pruning it into any certain kind of thing, opening it up so, you know, more airflow through it, or keeping it tidy, or, you know, if it goes one direction and is getting real heavy, I'd prune that and get it where it's balanced a little bit better. But the rest of it is an olive just grows into a kind of a soft, natural shape if you let it do its thing. And that's probably what I would do, and just let the fruit come on as it feels like coming on.
Well, and that's what I kind of thought. You see some of those pictures of, 100-year-old olive trees, and, they just kind of do their thing. And
yeah.
I imagined that one, or this one, was going to do something similar, but as I was out doing a little cleanup yesterday, noticed, it looks very unruly.
Yeah, and just tidy it up a little bit, just a little bit of pick pruning, and make sure that flare is dramatically exposed. And it'll do well for you for a long time, especially in Austin. One thing I'll tell you, even if it never produces any fruit, you've got a use out of it now, and that is to use the foliage to make tea. Have you ever done that?
No, sir, I haven't.
Yeah, just take a handful of the foliage, just green right off the tree, or you can save it if you want to, but, you're always going to have some fresh leaves, so it's not really necessary to do that. And use them, get the nice clean water going. I use a glass tea kettle and then a glazed teapot, glazed inside and out. And just put, half a handful, crush them so, the good essence comes out of the leaves. Mm-hmm. Crush them, put them in the teapot, pour the not quite boiling water over. Makes very nice tea. If you add some honey to it, it's even better.
Okay, I'll definitely try that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, give it a shot. And other than that, just enjoy your little olive tree. It'll do fine. We can grow them here, but it just really gets too cold in Dallas for us to ever have much, if any, of a fruit crop. You ought to be able to have some fruit in Austin, though.
Okay. I might try to get another one so it can buddy up.
It'll help. I don't know if it's absolutely necessary, but probably good to do anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. Let's see here. Well, we're about out of time. Let me just kind of fold up on a few things here. We got more activity on our social stuff, so check it out. Go to Twitter, go to Facebook, the Instagram. Logan, my announcer daughter, is helping me beef up what we're doing there with photographs. Between she and I, we have an enormous library of photography that we haven't used. One of the things in our course, the Natural Organic Certification course, that you can sign up for right on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com, is that I got to show you in the courses, the 15 courses that we teach, chapters that we teach, a lot more photography than I've ever been able to use. Logan and her husband, Bo, have traveled so much, they have an enormous amount. So we're not going to put a huge amount all at once, but a little bit on Instagram as we go that you can see right there on DirtDoctor.com. Or just go to @TheDirtDoctor on Instagram to see the new stuff that will be going on there every day. Tweets, I'm doing more active on Twitter, and you'll see more stuff there and on Facebook. And if you have a question during the week when I'm not around, just go to the library of DirtDoctor.com or send us a question through the Ask Howard feature. Enjoy your gardens out there. And plant a lot of plants that will attract the birds. See you next week.